Welcome to all the precious brethren that are in the room. We are going to have our sermon services. But before we do, dear ones, we are going to have an opening song. It's entitled Send the Light. Just give me a few seconds.
Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on the 16th day of February 2019. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, tuning in to WLMR Radio. I'm glad to have you join with us on this beautiful Sabbath day. And praise our Savior for coming soon. And for his great sacrifice in love in providing for each one of us salvation. So happy Sabbath, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is titled Send the Light. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to sing along. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Everywhere bound, send the light, send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Indeed, dear ones, let us let our light so shine for Jesus that he may be uplifted and people may be brought to salvation before it's too late. And praise our Father as Lord of the harvest that he's raising up laborers and sending them forth. And this light of present truth is indeed reaching to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And soon everyone will have a chance to hear the message and decide for or against it. And those who love the truth will be saved. What a privilege it is to work hand in hand with our God in seeking to save the lost. So let your light shine, dear ones. And now it's time for opening prayer. And who here would like to offer our opening prayer for us? Please go right ahead.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for another Sabbath that we can come together to worship you and praise your name. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for food, raiment, and shelter. We know there are folks out there that lack all of them. Be with the speaker today that he will bring us some fresh bread from heaven's bakery. May the words he speaks this morning touch hearts, our hearts, and cause us to long for heaven and homeland. Be with those who would like to come and can't. Be with those who are infirm and can't even get on the computers or the phones. I know when sickness overcomes a person pretty heavily, they lose interest in what's going on around them. And that has happened to one of our friends. You know his condition, whether you're going to put him to bed early or whether you're going to bring him back to active life and let him be among the living when you come. Forgive us for our sins and help us to keep the Sabbath holy as we are taught to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So welcome again, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to you. And this is part 5 in our series, What is the Mark in the Image of the Beast? And so far throughout this series, we've seen conclusive evidence that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested 9 of the 10 different characteristics that Revelation 13 uses to identify who the beast is. And the first characteristic was that we learned that the Roman Catholic Church arose among established nations of what became Western Europe. The second characteristic, we discovered that the church has aspects of Greece, Persia, and Babylon within her. In fact, so much of pagan Babylon is found to be within the Roman Catholic Church that it's like this mystery religion is still alive and well today. The third characteristic, we saw that after the fall of the Roman Empire in 476 AD, that the Roman Catholic Church managed to take over Rome's place of authority over the 10 nation states of Europe. And these 10 nation states began supporting and empowering the church. The fourth characteristic is we understood that the dragon or Satan became the power behind Roman Catholicism, and thus was giving this church her power and great authority. The fifth characteristic is we learned that in 1798, the Catholic Church was without a visible head to rule and thus received a deadly wound. But ever since 1929, this deadly wound has begun to be healed, and now the Roman Catholic Church is again one of the most powerful religious and political organizations in the world. In characteristic number 6, we saw that the Catholic Church indeed wielded immense political and religious power and authority in Western Europe. Characteristic number 7, we discovered that the Roman Catholic Church has indeed committed blasphemy against God in all 3 biblical areas that denote blasphemy. The 8th characteristic, we saw that the Catholic Church has persecuted, warred against, and murdered around 100 million people throughout its period of persecution. And these people just chose not to follow the church, but follow Christ instead. And that was enough to make them martyrs. Characteristic number 9, we learned that the Roman Catholic Church reigned supreme for 42 prophetic months, which equaled exactly 1,260 literal years. And this was from March of 538 AD to February of 1798, exactly 42 prophetic months or 1,260 literal years. So this reveals to us that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested 9 characteristics of the beast of Revelation 13. But in order for Catholicism to be the beast, this church must manifest all 10 characteristics. So then what about this 10th and last remaining characteristic dealing with this mysterious number of 666? Does the Roman Catholic Church also manifest this final characteristic? And also, what is this mark of the beast? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And those that would like to follow along with the quotes, the notes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID166.htm. So what about this 10th and last characteristic? Does Catholicism also manifests this? And if you look at quote number 1, the 10th characteristic was that this beast has the number 666. And this reveals that since the Bible states that this is the number of a man and that it is the number of his name, so then this literal number of 666 is somehow connected with the numeric number of a man's name that is closely associated with the beast. And in fact, even the Roman Catholic Douay version of the Bible has this note regarding Revelation 13:18. The Douay version says, "The numeral letters of his name shall make up this number." So then, is there a man who is closely connected with the Roman Catholic Church whose name in numeric numbers totals 666? Now, first of all, what man do you first think of when you think about the Roman Catholic Church? And most of the people will naturally think of the Pope. He's the head of the church. And the Pope is indeed closely connected with the Catholic Church, because without him, the Catholic Church is dead. So let's see if the Pope's name totals 666. Now, what is the Pope's official name? And in Sacrosancta Concilia ad Regitinoem Exacta by Philip Labbé, S.J., which means Society of Jesus or a Jesuit, Volume 1, page 1534, appears this statement. The title given to the Pope is Vicarius Filii Dei. From Our Sunday Visitor, or Catholic Weekly, November 14, 1915, under Bureau of Information, page 3. The title of the Pope of Rome is Vicarius Filii Dei. This is inscribed on his mitre. Another quote from Our Sunday Visitor or Catholic Weekly, April 18, 1915. The 13th question under Bureau of Information, page 3, appears this statement. What are the letters supposed to be in the Pope's crown, and what do they signify, if anything? Answer. The letters inscribed in the Pope's mitre are these, Vicarius Filii Dei, which is the Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the Church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head. Christ, before his ascension into heaven, appointed St. Peter to act as his representative. Upon the death of Peter, the man who succeeded to the office of Peter as Bishop of Rome was recognized as the head of the Church. Hence, to the Bishop of Rome as the head of the Church was given the title Vicar of Christ. And here's another. This is from The Temporal Power of the Vicar of Jesus Christ by Henry Edward Cardinal Manning, page 231 to 32. The temporal power in the hands of St. Gregory I was a fatherly and patriarchal rule over nations not as yet reduced to civil order. In the hands of St. Leo III, it became a power of creating empires. In the hands of St. Gregory VII, it was a scourge to chasten them. In the hands of Alexander III, it was a dynasty, ruling supremely in the name of God over the powers of the world. So that I may say that there never was a time when the temporal power of the Vicar of the Son of God, though assailed as we see it, was more firmly rooted through the whole unity of the Catholic Church. It was a dignified obedience to bow to the Vicar of the Son of God and to remit the arbitration of their griefs to one whom all wills consented to obey. So what does Vicar of the Son of God mean? Vicarius Filii Dei is Latin, and vicarius means substituting for or in place of. Filii means son, and Dei is God. So Vicarius Filii Dei means vicar substituting in the place of the Son of God. So Vicar of the Son of God literally means that the Pope is substituting himself for or is taking the place of the Son of God to the Catholic people. Quite an amazing substitution. Amazing claim. So as this is indeed the official name for the Pope, then how does one count the number of this name, Vicarius Filii Dei? And if you look at quote number 2, before the use of numbers as we know them today, letters of the alphabet were given numerical significance. And in ancient heathen cults, much thought was given to the preparation of titles which contained the desired numerical significance. And most of us are familiar with Roman numerals. And the numbering system that was used in ancient Rome was that the letter 1, or the letter I, represented the number 1. The letter V, or U, represented the number 5. The letter X represented the number 10. The letter L represented 50. The letter C, 100. The letter D, 500. The letter M, 1,000. So since Latin was the official language of ancient Rome, and this official name for the Pope is in Latin, then all we have to do is apply this Roman numbering system to the Pope's name, and see what numerical total we get. So it's kind of fun and a little exciting to do this. So let's apply this to the Pope's name. Vicarius Filii Dei. You notice on the left, Vicarius is written out, and next to all the letters are applied the value of the Roman numerals. The V would represent 5, the I would represent 1, the C would be 100, the A would be 0, the R would be 0, because there's no numerical significance to A or R. The I would again be 1, the U, same as V, would be 5, and the S would represent 0. So if you add up what Vicarius represents in numbers, it would represent 112. So Vicarius numerically stands for 112. Now Fili, the F would be 0, the I would be 1, the L would be 50, and then the last two I's would be 1 each. So that would total 53. Dei, the D would be 500, the E would be 0, and the I would be 1, which would total 501. So then when you add up the numerical total for Vicarius Filii Dei, 112 plus 53 plus 501 totals 666. Quite amazing, isn't it? So the numerical number of the official name of the Pope, Vicarius Filii Dei, adds up to the exact total of 666. So this means that the number of a man's name of 666, who is indeed closely connected with Catholicism, is manifested within the Roman Catholic Church. And thus the Catholic Church does indeed manifest this last and tenth characteristic of the beast of Revelation 13. So then, since we've seen conclusive evidence that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested all 10 characteristics connected with the beast of Revelation 13, then this shows us without a doubt that the Catholic Church is this beast described in Revelation 13. No other power in history has been shown to manifest all 10 identifying characteristics of the beast except the Roman Catholic Church. It can be no other power but Rome. Now, if you look at quote number 3, since we know that the Roman Catholic Church is this beast of Revelation 13, then what is the mark of the beast? What is this mark of the Roman Catholic Church? And if you remember, in the first part of this series, we learned that the Greek word that's used for mark is pteregma. And this word translates and means a stamp as a badge of servitude or mark. And that was Strong's word number 5480. So then the mark of the beast is not a credit card. It's not a laser mark. It's not a biochip implant. It's not a national identification number, or even a giant computer over in Brussels, or anywhere else in the world. But the mark of the beast is a stamp, or a sign, or seal, or badge of servitude to some power or being. So then, as this is true, what exactly is this mark of Catholicism? What is this stamp or sign or seal or badge of servitude to that church? In Our Sunday Visitor, February 5, 1950, occurs this statement. Protestants accept Sunday rather than Saturday as the day for public worship after the Catholic Church made the change. In observing the Sunday, They are accepting the authority of the spokesman for the church, the Pope. Another statement. From an address that Priest Bradley gave that was reported in the Elizabeth, New Jersey News of March 18, 1903, occurs this statement. It is well to remind the Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, and all other Christians that the Bible does not support them anywhere in their observance of Sunday. Sunday is an institution of the Roman Catholic Church. And those who observe the day observe a commandment of the Catholic Church. Another statement is from Monsignor Louis Segur, titled Plain Talk About the Protestantism of Today, on page 213. It was the Catholic Church which transferred this rest, or Saturday as the Sabbath, to the Sunday. Thus, the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is an homage they pay, in spite of themselves, to the authority of the Catholic Church. And then, from H.F. Thomas, which was Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, and answered some of his correspondence, and this was a letter in answer to a question that came in. He makes this statement. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change from Saturday to Sunday was her act. It could not have been otherwise, as none in those days would have dreamed of doing anything in matters spiritual and religious without her, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and authority in religious matters. So since the Roman Catholic Church changed the original day of worshiping God from Saturday to Sunday, then this change, according to their own words, is a mark of her ecclesiastical power. So then, it's a stamp or a sign or a seal or a badge of this beast's authority and power. So then, if Sunday is a mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of the Roman Catholic Church's authority and power in religious matters, then Saturday must be the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of authority and power to someone else. But whose? If you look at quote number 4, in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. In Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, I, or God, gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So then Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the day before Sunday, is the Sabbath worship day of the Lord our God. And because God himself has blessed and made this Sabbath day holy, then this holy day is the mark or sign or seal of God's authority and power. And God has chosen this Sabbath day as a memorial of his creationary power above all the other days of the week. And all of his people are to worship him on this seventh day Sabbath. And he even told them not to forget this fact, but to remember it. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle that are within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here we see the difference between the mark of the beast versus the mark of God, the sign of the beast versus the sign of God, the badge of servitude to the beast versus the badge of servitude or freedom to God. The God of heaven states that the seventh day, or Saturday, is the Sabbath, or the worship day, of the Lord thy God. But the beast states something different. If you look at quote number 5. In the Catholic Mirror, September 23, 1893, the Catholic Church for over 1,000 years before the existence of a Protestant changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. So the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of God's authority and power in religious matters is his making the seventh day of the week, or Saturday, as his holy Sabbath worship day, while the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of the beast's authority and power in religious matters is the Roman Catholic Church making the first day of the week, or Sunday, as their worship day. So now that we know what the mark of the beast is, then how can we receive it? If you look at quote number 6, the Bible states that this mark of the beast will be received in their right hand or in their foreheads, which is from Revelation 13, 16 and also 14, verse 9. So then this mark that's symbolic, not literal, since this mark is not literal, but symbolic, then how can we receive this mark either in our forehead or in our hands, right hand? Receiving this symbolic mark in our forehead would signify that we accept this mark, represents a mental acceptance of it. In other words, you actually believe that the Roman Catholic Church has the authority to change God's Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, and you have then chosen to bow to and obey Rome's authoritative command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. You mentally accept that Rome has the power to change Saturday to Sunday, and then you follow the Catholic Church's command. That would give you the mark in your forehead. So then what would it mean to receive the mark in your right hand? Receiving this symbolic mark in your right hand would signify willing service for the mark. Or in other words, even though you do not believe that the Catholic Church has the authority to change God's Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, or perhaps you don't believe in a day of worship at all, yet you still choose to bow to and obey Rome's command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. So that would be willing service. Willing obedience to Roman Catholicism would also give you the mark. But Sunday worship is not a command of the God of heaven. It's a command of the Roman Catholic Church. And Catholicism clearly understands this fact. They even boast about it. If you look at quote number 7, from the Catholic Press, Sydney, Australia, August of 1900 appears this statement. Sunday is a Catholic institution, and its claims to observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. From beginning to end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. So Rome is well aware of this issue. Another statement is from priest Thomas Enright from the Redemptorist Catholic College in Kansas City, Missouri, in a lecture that he gave titled Sunday in History, and this is page 56 of this lecture. That's dated February 18, 1884. Prove to me from the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Holy Catholic Church alone. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Catholic Church says no. By my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. So as this is true, then the mark or seal of the God of heaven would be choosing to bow down to and obey his authoritative command to worship him only on Saturday, his chosen Sabbath worship day. If you choose to do this, then it is a sign that you show that you love, serve, and worship God because you recognize his supremacy to rule over you as your God. But the mark or seal of the beast would be choosing to bow down to and obey the Roman Catholic Church's authoritative command to worship only on Sunday, the chosen Sabbath day of the Pope, who declares himself to be in God's place. If you choose to do this, then it is a sign that you show that you love, serve, and worship the Pope of Roman Catholicism because you recognize his supremacy to rule over you as your God. So then these facts of truth clearly reveal that the mark of the beast is not a literal mark. It's not a laser mark. It's not a credit card or a biochip implant. And neither is it a national identification number, a giant computer, or any other literal thing. Now, all of these items might be used to try and coerce you or force you to receiving the mark, yet none of these things are the mark itself. But the mark of the beast is a symbolic mark because you've chosen to bow down to and obey the Roman Catholic Church's authoritative command for you to worship on Sunday, and then you choose to worship on Sunday. That's what the mark is. So now, in knowing exactly who the beast of Revelation 13 is, Roman Catholicism, knowing exactly what the mark of the beast is, bowing down and worshiping the Pope's command to keep Sunday holy, and you know exactly how it's received, obeying the command to worship, then whose authority and power will you bow down to and obey as supreme over you in this great controversy over the Sabbath Sunday issue? The Lord God of heaven says, keep Saturday holy. The Roman Catholic Church says, no, don't keep Saturday holy, keep Sunday holy. So who are you going to obey? The Lord God of heaven? Or the Pope and the substitute God in the Roman Catholic Church? You know, every human being in this world will have to make this ultimate decision in whom they will worship and obey in this Sabbath Sunday issue. Those who choose to obey the God of heaven and worship him only on his chosen seventh-day Sabbath will receive his seal and will be forever saved. While those who choose to obey the substitute God of the Roman Catholic Church and worship him on his chosen Sunday Sabbath will receive his mark and will be forever lost. The choice is up to you. So what is your decision going to be? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Study these things out for yourself. Apply line upon line of scripture and base your decision upon a thus saith the Lord. And not upon a thus saith the beast or the pope or the church or the minister or the church councils or the creeds. Base it upon a thus saith the Lord. And in choosing to follow God, you're choosing life. So since we have positively identified who the beast of Revelation 13 is and what the mark of this beast is, then what exactly is the image of the beast? And this is what we will discover next time. So what is this image? It has a significant role to play, listed there in Revelation 13, also listed in Revelation 14. And next time we'll discover what this image is. So we hope to see you then, dear ones. And amen. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen indeed. So praise God for his word. It brings the issues out so clearly and allows people to have a choice. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Our closing song is titled Holy Day. Jehovah's Rest. Holy day, Jehovah's rest, of creations weep the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First the 6 days' work was done. Then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. rest.
Thousands have his plan revised, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know there's no scripture tells you so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appears through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I searched, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. And praise God for letting us know what his holy day of rest is. And now we have the precious chance to study this for ourselves. Allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, become convicted and converted on the truth, and choose to follow the command and authority of the God of heaven. Or not to. It's our choice. But praise God for letting us know the difference and giving us this freedom of choice. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so very much for giving us thy law and for not allowing it to be completely eradicated and covered over by the devil and any of his agents, but allowing us to have your word of life that brings forth this law in crystal clarity and also reveals to us the attempt of the devil and his agents to try and keep your people deceived and misled into worshiping a day that you've never chosen, but another has. And please help us to more clearly recognize that since each one has the freedom of choice, then we choose for ourselves either the destiny of life or the destiny of destruction. And no one can choose for us. Help us to recognize that we can't allow another to choose for us and think that we will have salvation based on the other person's choice for us. But help us to take charge of our own destiny and help us to fall in love with the Savior, recognizing the great sacrifice that he made in order to give us this freedom of choice, in order to give us this word of life that exposes the dangers of error and the traditions of men, and that admonishes us to choose life so that we might, in following your commandments, recognize your authority in all religious matters, since you are the creator of all truth. and choose to follow you because of your love for us. And help our love for the truth, our love for Jesus, grow more firm and become so an integral part of our very existence that we will rather die than give it up. That we would rather lose anything and sacrifice it all that we might have the truth. Because in obtaining the truth and clinging to it, we are obtaining Jesus, that pearl of great price, that treasure hid in a field. He gave everything for us. We can give everything for him, for he is worthy. Father, we desire your seal, your mark. And please help us to so settle into the truth, become so fixed and immovable upon it, that we might indeed receive your seal, your mark of approval. We do not want the mark of the beast. We do not want men to rule over us. We do not want churches or creeds to base our salvation upon, for that is the sandy, unstable soil that cannot withstand the flood. We do not want our great expectations to fall and be lost. So please help us to study these things for ourselves, that we might be, saith the Lord, and in it is written, for your words will never fail. They will endure forever. Everything else can pass away, but your word remains firm and true. So help us to cling to the truth, cling to Jesus, and never let him go. And thank you for the grace and strength to do so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So that is what the mark of the beast is. And that is what the seal of God is. And now it's your choice, dear ones, and I pray that you will choose life. For in choosing Jesus, you choose everything. So, amen. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Yes,
please go right
to them. Well, to a lot of people, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, Sister Chaka.
Well, to a lot of people, it doesn't matter or make a difference what day you worship on. It's not important to them. They don't believe it.
Yeah, sadly, that is true. But praise God that the Spirit is going to be working on their heart and leading them to understand the truth and to make that decision. Dear ones, I would like to let you know that the Lord has allowed me to regain strength and not so tired anymore from all the things that took place this past month. And I want to express my gratefulness to Sister Rose for leading out in the services while we were gone, helping my mom to get up here to Oregon. And she is indeed here. She is loving it. She can speak for herself, but it's just such a blessing to have her here with us. And many of you know that while I was down in Southern California, the Lord opened a door for me to go and speak in a Seventh-day Adventist company. A group was meeting there. They had not yet joined the conference, but they did have the approval of the conference to operate a church under the name Seventh-day Adventist. So the Lord worked it out and enabled me to have an invitation to speak, and the Lord kept the door open, so I went and spoke there. And believe it or not, it was recorded. And I was able to get a copy of the recording, which is quite amazing in and of itself. But this next coming Sabbath sermon, I'm going to be giving the sermon that I gave to that Adventist church. It's not a recording. It'll be live. But I just wanted you all to know the sermon that was given. And to this date, I haven't heard anything from anyone from that Adventist church group. But the seeds were planted. And please keep them in prayer. So again, thank you so much, dear Sister Rose, for covering. And praise God that His perfect will is being accomplished.
To speak for myself as to whether I love Oregon or not, I do. When you're traveling along the roads that are tree-lined from all kinds of pine trees to many trees, especially now showing the fall colors, you can smell a cedar among them, which is, if you've ever smelled a cedar closet or cedar hope chest, you know the smell. It's a very wonderful smell. You can smell that here in Oregon among the trees. It is a little cold. I'm used to Southern California climate, but you can always put on an extra coat and turn the fire up a little bit more and enjoy it. But I really do enjoy being with my family. I still have part of my family in Southern California, and I will be spending time with that part of the family also. But I am so thankful that my family has settled in Oregon away from the big city. You don't realize the undertones that you hear, that you're not really thinking about, but there is a constant rumble and noise in the city that you don't hear that here among the trees and the hills. It's such a blessing. And thank you all for your prayers. The move went well. And I just appreciate all of your love and prayers you sent our way. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Joan, I'm glad you're out finally. That's an answer to one of my prayers. Now I've got to concentrate on some other people that are in the city. I won't mention their names. They know who they are, but they got to know I'm praying they'll get out too before their cities are destroyed.
I hear you, Brother Dick, and thank you so much for your concern and for your invitations, many of them. And we are praying, Sister Rose and our dear family there. It's amazing. Makes you think of what heaven must be like, with its beauties, this fragrance, its fresh water, especially the verdant green along the highways.
My dear twin, I don't have any reception on my Zoom. I only see the pictures, but I don't receive any speaking or any other manner of listening or hearing what's going on in the room. I'm so sorry.
Me too, my dear twin, and maybe that will change. We'll sir keep it in prayer.
Now, Joan, is this twinness because of date or just year?
We were both born in September of 1937. We both share the age of 86, and that's why we're twins. I think his birthday comes September 1st. Mine is September 6th, but we're twins. We're 86 and hanging in there.
Okay, now I understand.
Well, dear ones, by God's grace, we will have our dear brother to be able to lead up next Saturday, by God's grace. And I would like to personally thank everyone for the patience and for hanging in there. Meanwhile, our dear brother was able to transfer over our precious sister to his home. And we can't wait to be able to hear the sermon that was shared by those dear souls. And may you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And God bless.
What can be done to help my twin Rodolfo or Rudy to see and hear on his computer?
We were trying to see that maybe to let our screen, the computer technicians around us, either Sister Cilicia or Brother Joel or someone that can be able to kind of guide us. So he can be like, right now we turn the green screen and we can show our computer and like show him like step to step. It will be better because sometimes the computer, where you have to go to the setting and things like that may be a little bit difficult.
Where did he get his new computer, if indeed it is a new one? Did he not used to have a picture?
Yeah, you know, when we set up the computer and everything so it could be taken to Mexico, everything was fine. But I think somewhere, somehow, maybe something was touched and kind of, because all that time he was able to do it. Before the computer was taken over, we kind of placed everything so he won't have that much to do, but something happened. So the only way we can be able to kind of help him is that he could be like in a Zoom kind of, where we can be able to kind of, like open the screen and kind of show him step by step.
He'd almost have to have a second computer sitting by him to watch Zoom speak and listen and do on his own what he's directed to do, like you said, in settings or something, so that he could get his sound back.
I don't think that he have another computer, unless he could ask the computer that was being used before that. Dad, can you just tell, but at least you can be able to hear us, right, Daddy? Can you hear us?
No, that's what he said. He could.
Oh,
okay. Here, but he could see.
Okay.
You'll have to write on a whiteboard and hold it up in front of your computer to communicate with him, or maybe PM him.
My dear sister Ida is having a problem with Rudy and me being twins. It's not that we were born twins, it's that we declare that we are twins because of the same year we were born and the closeness in our birth dates. That's it. He is my brother. I can call him twin. He can call me twin. And that's fine with us, Sister Ida.
We're going to try our best to see if we can't help. You know, they have many heads here. We can put it together. If anyone here can be able to kind of help us so we can be able to help our dear brother with the computer situation, you're welcome.
The only way I know how to fix not being able to hear is by going out of the room and coming back in. Sometimes that solves it. Or going into the audio part of the computer and making sure that the sound is all the way up and not muted. That's the only ways I know how to correct that issue.
Elder Rob, is it possible that after when we finish like the service, can you just give us like a window of opportunity that I can call my dad on the phone and use our phone as a way to communicate so we can see if we can help him?
Sure. I do not mind staying after church.
Thank you so much, dear Elder Rob. I'll see if I can call my dad. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless you until we see each other again next Sabbath by God's grace. God bless. Brother Dick, can you just lead us out by God's grace?
If looking up thy God is still the same today, keep looking up.
What?
He would not fail you, come once made.
Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.